Welcome to the High and Low Podcast. I am your host, Bravo, Bravo, Ducking Bravo. Still have a little bit of a cold, but we're getting better. We're getting better every day. And so today we're going to be recapping Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Reunion Part 2, as well as talking about some random Bravo news. Now, you all know I don't watch Vanderpump Rules, but I also keep an eye on it. I keep an eye on all the shows. It's impossible not to. And with, you know, as many Bravo accounts as I follow, you see things all day long. So it's not like anything is a secret. The plot lines of the shows and little clips and highlights and stuff like that. So I saw a summary pretty much of Vanderpump Rules. And it seems like it's the like Ariana takedown season now. Like people were very supportive. And then just a few weeks later, when they start filming this next season, everyone has decided she's had too much praise, too much support, and she's to be taken down a peg. And I saw in particular Sheena, Club Shishi, saying that she wanted to go on Dancing with the Stars. I want it then. When is it ever going to be about me? Lisa Vanderpump, remember when you went on Dancing with the Stars? What did I say? Just hearing me talk about that annoying scene, my phone just jumped off the table. It was like, please, sweet release, let me know peace, jumped off the table. And then everyone's coddling Sheena in the episode, like, yeah, that's dumb. To all the Vanderpump Rules watchers and fans, I mean, slow clap, because you have the stamina to put up with some of the craziest, silliest, most childish, inner id, ego-driven nonsense I've ever seen. This woman's acting like they both went out for auditions or something. As if Ariana took something from her that otherwise would have been hers. That's not what happened here. Just overall looked like a really bad episode for Shayna. Really did. Of her own doing. Also, I had said on here maybe a week ago or so that I'd heard that Kim Z was coming back to Atlanta. And this is, I'm telling you, I'm putting my hand in the air right now and I'm swearing an oath to the Bravosphere. I'm not going to talk about casting ever until the casting is released because I learned my lesson years ago. It is a game that will never end. They will jerk you around. There will be rumors. It's just people creating, it's clickbait is all it is. And I'm so sick and tired of it because now it's like, you know, Kim comes out saying, I'm definitely not joining the show. I'm like, Kim, please. You're working everybody's last nerve. Enough with the clickbait. And we saw Brielle got engaged. Did you see that? She's engaged to, I believe it's a baseball player. Someone who is going to make a large amount of money in a finite amount of time. And dear Lord, we hope they save it. Like you crazy kids, just save some of it. Just even 10% of it. Just squirrel it away, Brielle. And then, oh, listen, I didn't recap Jersey last year, I don't think. Because it can get so toxic. I've discussed this on other people's podcasts on Bravo and Blaze. Jersey is unlike any other that I've ever seen in the Bravo sphere. It's like the Candace Monique fight, but it never stops. That amount of vitriol on both sides for the different camps, it never lets up. And so I had to back away because I was like, this is so toxic. Like because they're very emotional about it. Some people fight on camera and it's fake. And this is very real. It always has felt very real. Like they roll. I said roll like Whitney. Roll. I'm being so real with my fillings. She says fillings, like fillings in your teeth. I'm so being so real with my fillings. But I may have to watch Jersey this year. But I think they're also jerking us around because in the previews, they show Teresa crying. Nothing new, right? But then they say, Louis blew through all her money. And I'm like, what? What? And then they show some scene where they're outside and Louis's there. And she's like, I want this to get better. He's like, it's not going to get better. But who knows what they're talking about? They could be talking about anything, a self-tanner application. Because I had thought that they had still seemed very happy and going places together and social media posts and things like that. So it was kind of a surprise to me. See, I do think it's probably trickery. I'll have to take a poll and see, are we interested in recapping Jersey or not? But today we are recapping Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Let's get into it. I took 11 pages of notes on that nonsense. 11 pages of notes of what really just felt like the Kyle show. The Kyle show with a plug for Erica Jane's Puss Patton $7 extravaganza. They start part two with asking Kyle about her issues with Dorit. And it's just so funny to me. I mean, I had taken a gummy, but Kyle is very serious. She's very heated. And then they pan over and it's It's just Dorit in that, and then just the red drape of fabric, her little face pointing out. And it just made me laugh every single time that they panned over to Little Red Riding Cornholio. She's doing that thing where she's like leaned forward, looking really intently, like she's super engaged in the conversation, just swathed in a Coca-Cola red. I really think there's some connection to Coca-Cola there. I really do. I feel like they were like, hey, wear red, not just any red, our red, for another $500. and then her little barrette is showing. So it looks like they sewed fabric onto a barrette and then clicked it onto her hair, but it's not like really stuck onto the, so it's pulling it so you can see the barrette is half exposed, connected to the drape. And I'm just like, why did we do this? And I kind of lost myself in the red drape for a little bit in those thoughts. And I'm glad I did, because the actual conversation that was happening was about, again, the 2022 reunion, where Kyle got her feelings hurt that Dorit said one sentence trying to communicate that Kathy was trying to be heard. Kyle, I can't hear about this anymore. I really cannot. None of us can hear about this anymore. That Dorit hurt your feelings, that everybody hurts your feelings if they say anything trying to defend you. Don't bring them on the show. Stop bringing your sisters on the show then, Kyle. I've had it. You got us all sitting here listening to you moan about something that happened in 2022. Get out of here. When you're sitting on hot fire news, all of you have all kinds of things that you could be talking about, but you're pulling us into this nonsense, and I think they know it. I think this is planned between Dorit and Kyle, because it's not talking about tax money. It sure isn't. It's talking about a tiff in 2022. It's not talking about Kyle's real issues right now. Nope. And if Kathy's coming out, we know she's already made up with Kathy. So what are we doing? And on social media, Kyle has already come out and said, like, Dorit and I, we never really rolled like that. We were never really, like, close like that. Despite Dorit saying that they were besties and, I guess I have your name tattooed on me for you to pay attention to me, Christopher Robin. Like, no, now Kyle is saying it wasn't ever really like that. We went on a few trips, but she's kind of exaggerating things. Okay, then don't make me watch this farce of a fight between the two of you for 10 minutes. It felt like 10 minutes, especially with last week too. Move on. And Kyle says, it feels like you care more about what the audience thinks. Like she's as if Dorit is like pandering to the audience with everything she does. Even though this annoyed me, them going back and forth and back and forth and Kyle pointing out stuff like that and Dorit always having to defend herself. She never just like says, I'm sorry. Out of nowhere, unexpected breath of life. Garcelle from the other couch says, do you ever just say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done it? And I was like, yes, Garcelle, jump into this, spice it up, spice melange. This is very dull. And Dorit's only response is like, I've already apologized to you, and it's okay for me to defend something that is not true. I was like, what? But that doesn't even make any sense. It's okay for you to defend something that's not true? Are you saying that something isn't true so you have to defend yourself? Because that's not how you said it. What you said sounds like it's okay for me to be delusional and defend things that aren't true. Just Don Quixote style. Okay, Dorit. Then we move on to Kyle's sobriety. And Kyle makes it very clear, says several times that she never had a problem with drinking. There was no problem. There was no problem here. I just wanted to stop drinking. And how good she feels and how she just is so happy with her decision. And Dorit chimes in because it's not over. Oh, it's so far from over. And Dorit's like, it wasn't just the not drinking, it's the incessant working out. And what they're trying to show Kyle is just the obvious conversation that she will not have. It's just sort of like somebody's holding something right in front of her and she refuses to acknowledge that it's there. They're saying it was an entire lifestyle change, not just not drinking. Nobody had a problem with her not drinking anymore. It was like not drinking, working out like crazy, getting these tattoos, running around town with Morgan, saying she's having issues with Mauricio. She did that music. I'm sorry, if you have seen that music video, they're just trying to get her to acknowledge this entire season. They've just been trying to get her to acknowledge like, yeah, I'm making some major, major changes in my life here. There's definitely an issue between her and Mauricio. Okay, great. None of these things are like big deals on their own, but taken as a whole, you see somebody moving in a different direction, and that's what she would not acknowledge. And what's worse is she just pretended that wasn't happening. But if tomorrow a friend of mine came over and was like, I'm sorry, what? I'm like, yeah, no, we're not doing that well. Do you like my new tattoos? Like, what? You're getting tattoos? You're hanging out with somebody in their 20s? You guys are going out? You were in a music video where you're like licking their face? Yeah, no, but none of this is a big deal. What? So Dorit clocked in and she's trying to present that. That's all Sutton was trying to do. And she got eaten alive for it. And Kyle, what do you think Kyle's, what do you think her little response was? Her response was, I've worked out since I was 15 because I had two sisters who were stick thin and I'm curvy and I'm, that's how I, Kyle, that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about a lifetime of working out and trying to stay healthy, let's hope. And, but she always equates it to skinny. The 90s were rough on everyone. So what I start to notice about Kyle, especially in this particular reunion, is, and maybe there it happened more, and you guys will tell me, whenever she is presented with something, she just will change the subject and move the goalpost to a completely different conversation. Nobody was talking about what she's talking about. She has successfully moved this to a different conversation. Then there was a really odd segue where Kyle says something like, I was never reckless about, you know, the amount of working out that she was doing. And Sutton comes in and says, I think you were reckless. I think you were reckless because you said that I had a drinking problem and that I don't eat. And I was like, okay, so she took reckless and she's turning it to be like, let's talk about your issues with me for a minute. Way to jump in there. But it was an odd segue. And of course, Kyle pushes back because why would she ever acknowledge anything on a network where the paychecks keep coming in, even if she keeps avoiding talking about things? You know what I mean? There's no repercussions here. So Kyle's like, when did I say that? She's essentially saying, name them, right? And so Sutton gives her actual examples. You said, I just push my food around my plate. And then Kyle doubles down. And she's like, no, I stand by that. I stand by that. I'm like, you stand by that? Well, at least, you know, qualify it. Say something. Say like, well, you know, that's when we're on camera. Because I'm sure nobody wants to chow down on camera. I would. A lot of these ladies are probably very tense and they're at these events, these dinners and whatnot. And so they're being very self-conscious maybe. But I'm like, why would you double down on that? She's trying to tell you, you've hurt her feelings and you've accused her of having an eating disorder. And you're going to double down? What odd choices you're making here tonight. Then Sutton's like, do you know what that did to me for you to put that rumor out there? Kyle doesn't even answer the question. She starts yelling about something she wants to talk about. She's like, what did I do to you to warrant what you did to me at the weed dinner? I'm like, no, ma'am, we don't get to jump to that. But they sure did. Nobody focused on what Sutton had asked her about putting out that in the world that she had an eating disorder and never acknowledging the hurt that that caused Sutton. We just moved on to something else that Kyle is upset about. It's the Kyle show, and I'm so done. So then it turns into mayhem about planting seeds. Sutton's like, you planted those seeds. You planted them. And Kyle's like, no, what seeds? I planted seeds. You didn't plant. You planted seeds. And she's talking about, she's essentially trying to blame Sutton for putting questions about her marriage into the stratosphere, right? Into the Bravosphere. Because she came to her in one-on-one and asked her things. And Kyle didn't like the way she's talking. And that was the name-em. And then they talked about it again at the dinner. But it was something all of the women were talking about. At least also Dorit from the other side of the camp, right? And look, that's where I just had a coughing fit. Like, this is where last night I knew that there was no way I could do the podcast. Because I was just like, they are turning this into such ridiculousness because they won't acknowledge anything real that's happening right now. And it's one thing to watch it during the season because you think, okay, well, she'll be held accountable at the reunion. And maybe the beef is with Andy because I don't know. He never really jumped in. And I guess he's not supposed to have his own opinions. But he's done it sometimes. He's probably just never going to challenge Kyle. Because she's going off and she's like, you came and you asked me questions that you shouldn't have asked me instead of saying, hey, friend, do you need anything? Are you okay? So somehow, after Sutton has been absolutely pooped on this entire season, this has still turned into Kyle saying, I'm the one who's hurt. You owe me apologies. What? And then we get into the whole conversation of Dorit and Kyle when they were talking to Crystal, I think it was Kyle's kitchen, about them accusing Sutton of like putting vodka in her coffee. Dorit said that part. And then Kyle giggled, like in the morning, like before 10 a.m. Well, you're not the brightest bulb on the chandelier, Kyle, because she said coffee. Dorit said coffee. And that's usually consumed in the mornings. Yes, but great dig. And somewhere Crystal's like, told you. And I'm like, I know, I agree. And then we had a very interesting moment between Sutton and Kyle, because Kyle says, that never came out of my mouth. You wouldn't hear that come out of my mouth, about saying that Sutton had a drinking problem or whatever, even though she insinuated, you know, before 10 a.m. and they're having these conversations and she said all the stuff that she said in the kitchen. And Sutton says, and they wouldn't, because you're very smart and clever and you play a good game of chess. And whoosh, immediately I'm taken back, and I'm sure we all were, whoosh, 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 to years before when it was Kyle versus LVP and they talked about fighting with you is like playing chess with Bobby Fischer. I'll never forget it. Kyle said that to LVP. You've become what you allegedly hated. Kyle has turned herself into the thing that she tried to take down. Well, that she did take down. That she said that she did not like. The manipulation, all that stuff from LVP. She's, I think, even worse now. LVP was at least funny and good humored about it. Kyle just always, you know, upset and really being dirty with people, like hardcore stuff. LVP never had anybody go after someone for their medical conditions that I recall. That was Lisa Rinna doing the Munchausens. And then we get Kyle whining, talking about how she told everyone. I told you that I was having a hard time. And when we did the Eagle Woman thing, and that's a direct quote from her, the Eagle Woman thing. So flashback to that, which is episode 1. Where she's sitting down and she just has the choppiest way of talking. Not a very good communicator to me. Or maybe she's just really in her head about what she says on camera. I'm not sure which one it is. But they show her sitting down at the Eagle Woman thing, trademarked. And she's saying, I would be lying if I said that, you know, that it was the easiest year for us, for me and Mo. I'm like, that's not a full disclaimer. That's not enough. You didn't tell these women what's really going on. You're saying, I'd be lying if I said it, you know, it was a great year for us or something. Okay. She thinks that little muttering from episode 1 of the Eagle Woman thing, that little statement that she made just about not having the best year was enough. Like, well, I told you all everything. No, you didn't. That was nothing. It was at this point in the show that I had to stop and say, I feel like I have been watching this for so long. And even now doing this recap, I'm like, I feel like I'm running in quicksand. I feel like I'm just not moving. It is a nightmare. This is the poltergeist hallway. And I looked at the timestamp and I was 7 minutes in. And then I felt like another 20 minutes went by and I looked at the timestamp and I was 9 minutes in. So this one was pulling teeth for me. It really was, because it's just Kyle playing her games and making her excuses and going off about her, and nobody's talking about anything real, making these grand, self-righteous statements. She's like, and you aren't owed an explanation of what's going on in my bedroom. And we're like, ma'am, this is a Wendy's. Nobody asked you that. No one cares about that. People just pointing out that a lot of things are changing with you, but she's got her own stuff going on, or this is, again, a game of chess. So it gets into the you don't share enough conversation, because, you know, Kyle made fun of Sutton, saying like she doesn't share enough. And Sutton's like, we all share all, you know, of our lives. And Kyle says, not true. And so then in unison, Dorit and Erica, who are sitting next to Kyle, both say, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean that's not true? Because those two, more than anybody else on that stage, that couch does not share, I don't think. That couch is the curate couch. That couch picks and chooses what storylines they want to present, and then they wear them out. So nobody is happy with Kyle for saying that. And so what does she do? She goes off on a tangent, and she makes a little soliloquy statement where she says, let me tell you something. And it was very reminiscent of, let me tell you something about my family. And this is when she goes off on her big thing. Yeah, you have seen Portia since she was 2 years old, and now she's graduating or whatever. And you have seen this and that and my sisters, and I have shared my life on this show. And there's like collective glances around the room, I think, of people just being like, just let her get it out. Like, it's almost over. She needs to just get this out. And Kyle's really, she's really fired up now. And she's really going off on Sutton like, you want me to spill every detail of my life. And you only came on this season just to come after me. Yeah, Kyle, that's what happened. And Sutton's like, have you lost your mind? I'm like, I think she has a little bit. umpa. And Kyle says, you know, horses and cashmere. That isn't enough. I'm like, okay, enough already. Leave Santos out of this. So then Andy's got to complicate it. And he asks Crystal, he says, do you think that Kyle and Dorit were kind of spreading it around that Sutton had an issue with alcohol, with putting vodka in her coffee? And Crystal says, yes, yes. More Dorit, though. And I'm like, here we go. Here we go. Because Dorit is just going to go off and never take accountability for that, never apologize for that. And I was right. And Dorit does the politician move where she's like, well, I mean, Christopher Robin, I mean, I said it, but I don't know. I mean, it could be. I don't know for sure that she's not an alcoholic. You know what I mean? There could be vodka bottles everywhere. Essentially is what she's saying is plausible deniability. And so Sutton is like, well, I don't know that you're not one. I'm like, yeah, finish her. And she calls her carcass out. She's like, well, you know, carcass out. I don't know how many carcasses are on the floor at the end of the night. Oh, oh, I love that. I'm like, Sutton, you're getting so much better at this. It's like, okay, I'll return your logic. If that's a game we're playing, then you could be as well. Prove to me you're not. Now, burden of proof on you. Then we get into the weed dinner. And I think we end up talking about Erica quite a bit here. And there was one confessional where Dorit did, I would give it a 7 out of 10 impression of Erica with her hair flip because she was making fun of the fact that at BravoCon 2023 from last year, Erica got on stage and whipped her head and said she was a showman because she said that Dorit and PK were probably the next ones to have marriage issues. And Erica was a great sport about her impression of her, which I thought was good. Or she's going to carve her name into something later and draw a line through it. I don't know which one. But then somehow we get pulled back into footage of Dorit and PK. And for the first time in the episode, I began to fast forward because I'm very caught up on that storyline and I don't need to see all those flashbacks again. So I saved myself probably 5 minutes by fast forwarding quite a bit through that. And then we get to Andy asking Dorit about her label-less clothes and new brown hair look this season. And are you on a budget, Dorit? And she's like, no, I'm not on a budget. As if that's an insulting thing to ask someone. Are you making sure you don't spend all of your money, Dorit? Oh, Christopher Robin, that's ridiculous. I am perfectly capable of continuing my crippling debt. And then she starts going off about the brown hair was a choice. And she's going off and saying this. And Andy starts to yawn and covers his mouth with his cue cards. He is so done with Dorit. Let me tell you, if anything, last night convinced me he's done with Dorit. That is year three, the third year in a row that they have asked some in-depth question of Dorit. She starts to answer it and Andy yawns. So she looks at him and she's actually, I think she's a little bit mad. And she looks at him and she says, well, let me try to talk a little bit faster so it won't be so long-winded. And he says, we've passed that point. We've already passed that point. Andy with the shade. And he's like, so no budget. And she's like, yeah, no budget. And then we move on. Then we get into her robberies. So many robberies. And the one we talk about last night was when she was out at a store around the holidays and she had $10,000 in cash on her, she says, in her bag. And she went into a store and someone took that cash out of her bag and maybe took her whole bag. I don't know. And it turns out that she was in Marshall's. She went into Marshall's, she said, to get a pack of holiday cards. And she had just gone to the bank and gotten $10,000 in cash for cash tips for people who work for them. And that they saw on the videotapes that two strangers were just like following her around the store and took her bag. So they took her, I think, her bag and all of her money. So I know of at least two robberies. There's probably been more. I can't even just think of them right now because the show has me so burnt out. But the one with the gun to her head that she talks about the most, which would be horrifying for anyone, she did not put the alarm system on. She just did not turn it on. Then Erica, if you listened to my deep dive about the HOA issues that they had with the earrings years ago, she didn't turn her alarm system on. So I'm like, what's up with these people having these alarm systems and they either don't know how or don't want to turn them on? And then you're going to go into Marshall's with $10,000 of cash in your bag and just walk around. Maybe check out that funky aisle where they have all the snacks that didn't sell somewhere else. There's always something good there. You're going to take $10,000 of cash into a store where you could get a pack of cards for a dollar. So you're willing to risk walking into a place with $10,000 of cash, and who knows what her purse that it was in was worth, probably also like another $5,000, $10,000. And you're going to risk losing that so that you can save a little money on a pack of cards. What I'm saying is these are odd choices. And Garcelle would agree, I think, because Garcelle, they address her because she dared to make a joke in her confessional saying, like, Dorit still got all of her jewelry after all these robberies. And Dorit's upset. She is upset under her red cape.
What I went through, Christopher Robin, as a mother, is my worst nightmare.
And I would agree that would be somebody's absolute worst nightmare to have strangers in your house that have weapons and your children are sleeping. That's horrible, horrifying. But the fact that people still don't trust Dorit, and we have to acknowledge also that this is what Bravo made us. We have learned over the years, housewives can very often be grifters. They can very often build this entire facade that we're looking at when in the background, they're running all kinds of schemes and games. So I think it's only right that people would be very suspicious of these odd things that keep happening. And I'm sitting here in my house with no purse collection by choice. We've all got our thing. You know what I'm saying? I buy too many seeds, like for my garden. Like we all have our stuff. But my point is that I, without luxury items everywhere, put my security system on. Even last night, I let the dog out. I was like, I got to put it back on. Stay or away? Which one is it going to be? It's always one of the two. So then Dorit starts quizzing Garcelle on what she thinks is weird so she can defend it. And that got awkward to me anyway. But Garcelle's like, look, I never said that you didn't go through something. I believe you were robbed. Just some things don't make sense. They feel off. And I agree. I think that's how everybody sees it. And Dorit's like, what? So she's doing a name him. And Garcelle's like, you know, your ring, you still have all these expensive rings after you've been robbed. And Dorit says that because she had just been traveling, she didn't put her rings back in her closet. And I think that happened to Erica in one of her robberies, conveniently. And Dorit doesn't tell us where she left the rings, I don't think, because I was curious, like if you were sleeping in your bed and they have a gun to your head, was your ring like right next to your bed and they didn't see it or didn't want it? Or I don't know. So there's still questions there. I felt like they moved on a little bit too quick from that. And then Dorit's like, what else? And Garcelle says, well, the fact that that footage shows that they walk out of your house and they leave your phone right by the gate. And Dorit starts going off again about, they had a gun to my head. And Garcelle, bless Garcelle. She's done with Dorit too. I would very much love a world where we just pinky swear to each other and Garcelle and Andy start going off about Dorit because I think they're both just over her. Because she starts going off on the whole spiel again of like, it was the most horrifying night and I had a gun to my head and Garcelle's like, I've heard the story. I don't need to hear the story again. I've heard the story. But Dorit won't stop. And she's like, no, allow me to tell you again. I'm like, hello, darkness, my old friend. Please don't make me hear this, all the stuff again. And Dorit finally gets to her point. Her point was that she had begged them to please leave her a way of calling her husband. She was saying, I don't have a way of calling my husband. If you take my phone, please leave my phone at the gate so I can call my husband. And at that point, I paused it and I yelled at the TV for a solid 2 minutes. And I'm going to tell you why. For all the foolishness, all the nonsense that Dorit and PK throw their money on, spend their money on, all the disposable income that they claim to have, they can't afford a $15, $20 a month landline. You don't have a landline in that house. People want you to think that you don't need a landline, but you do. Because if the cell towers go down, you have no phone. If your cell phone is taken or stolen or something happens, you have no phone. I think you should always have a landline. If you have a lot to lose, you should have a landline. As part of any good security strategy, I'm shocked that they don't. Or maybe she was lying to them and saying, that is my only way to call. Maybe there is a landline, but that's not the impression that I get from them. Anyway, my point is, if you're going to fill your house up with luxury goods, have a landline. Have an old school telephone in an office somewhere in the house that you can always use to reach out if something happens to your cell phone. If you drop your cell phone in water, you're going to need a way to call somebody. And Garcelle doesn't back down. She's not backing down. She's really had it with this coven. And I'm on her side on this. And she's like, look, I have my opinions. That doesn't change your world in any way. And Dorit's like, it does. It does. It's hurtful. And Garcelle's like, sorry if I hurt you. Oh, love it. Gave her the sorry if I, which is the only thing Dorit has given a couple of people up there. Then for some reason, and I had forgotten about this because who cares, but also what? Some rumor that when PK was arrested for a DUI, which I'd forgotten about, thanks for reminding me, Bravo, that he was arrested for a DUI, that Sutton had heard that there was another woman in the car, a different woman in the car. And I found myself thinking, what woman? Are we really going to believe that broke PK is out there just getting some strange whenever he can? Is that what the narrative is here? I would never. What woman? What place do you have to be in your life that you're like, you know what sounds good? A British dude who thinks he's some amazing business mogul. Like, who is that woman? We should have an intervention for her. She needs our help. But there was no woman, apparently. And Sutton says that the vodka in her coffee comment was definitely just as hurtful as that, as Dorit perceives this other woman rumor to have been that Sutton heard. And Sutton said she heard it on the streets when they asked her where she heard it. And then they get into a back and forth again about the vodka in the coffee. And Dorit's like, I mean, I don't know if you do that or not. I mean, and she keeps doing that plausible deniability of, I don't know if you do it or not, over and over again. It's really frustrating. And Sutton's like, maybe you heard it on the streets. Maybe the streets told you. Then Andy got so shady. I mean, some of his stuff, I really enjoyed it. He read a fan question and the fan said the funniest thing. It was like, no, Sutton isn't Dorit because Sutton got something out of her divorce and Dorit wouldn't get anything. She got divorced. And Andy read it. And it was just so funny. And he asked her if she had a prenup because they were talking about the money that Sutton gets from her ex-husband. And Dorit says they don't have a prenup and that when she met PK, he was bankrupt. And again, I say to you, were you feverish? Okay. I really don't know why we got to talking about that so much on the reunion. There were very weird, odd choices made, and they really dug up some stuff that I don't think needed to be discussed. But this is what we get with a three-parter out of a city where they don't really talk about much. Then we get into a conversation about the paperwork and not trusting your husband and Kyle. Oh, she again says what she said in the van, which is like, I hear my mother in my head telling me never to trust a man. But like, there's just so many words on the papers when Mauricio brings them for me to sign, you know. Then for whatever reason, we go back to a discussion of PK and Dorit because we're never going to be free of it. We just won't until she's no longer on the show. And they show Julia Roberts on Watch What Happens Live talking about the Pretty Woman date / marketing ad for that hotel, Reege Bev Will, where PK had her try on all the red dresses and then he showed her the necklace and told her immediately that it was not hers. And Julia Roberts said he should have given her something. Like, there should have been a necklace for her. Like, that would have been a fun date, not just to go cosplay it and then give everything back. And I agree. I don't know if she actually got a present in that episode or if it was just go play dress up for an afternoon and then that's your gift. So meet me in a funky, not really the penthouse room. Let's have a glass of champagne as we look into each other's eyes and you wear red dresses that you've already criticized that you don't really like that much. And we eat every item on the breakfast menu and then we go home and you just don't put the alarm on. And Dorit's like, well, no, we were mirroring the movie though, but we were mirroring the movie. And he's like, yeah, we know you were mirroring the movie. What we're saying is she got something in the movie. Anyway, then they move on to PK's travel and Dorit objecting to anyone saying that they were living separate lives because, quote, words have weight, which Garcelle muttered under her breath on the other couch. She's like, oh, words have weight. Mm-hmm. And Dorit says things are better than ever now because PK is now sober. He has not had a drink in 49 days as of the reunion. So good for them. And she said things are better than ever, but just so good. But wait, it's been too long since we talked about Kyle. So we get back to Kyle being hurt because Dorit asked her questions when they were driving in the car. It was that scene where she's like, I guess I have to get your name tattooed on me and I don't hear from you anymore and you don't tell me anything. I didn't know you're shooting a movie. But Kyle is saying she's very upset that Dorit would ask her those kinds of questions on camera. And you can just see in her face that Kyle is done with Dorit. So in the done with Dorit column, we have Andy, Kyle, Garcelle, Crystal for sure. So I think there's four people on that stage who would be totally fine if Dorit doesn't come back. Because after that segment, they're getting up from the couches and Garcelle says, another long-winded conversation. And it was at this point that I looked and we were about 30, 35 minutes in. And I was like, you know, I have not seen 8.5 Anne's face. It has been such a nice time. It's like the editors, the video people, all of them just forgot that she was there and didn't include her at all. And then as soon as I thought that to myself, they cut to her for a reaction. I was like, okay, well, there you go. She's still there on the stage. Forgot about her though. Then we get into Erica stuff and they talk about Erica and Denise fight, and Erica does not feel bad at all about it. She says,
Denise asked for that. Absolutely not. I don't feel bad about it.
And at least she was being honest. And then we get into the Florida guy, Tom Wilkes. I think his name is Tom. Is his name Tom? I don't care to look it up. I looked it up. It's Jim Wilkes. Jim. And how he's paying all her bills. And people are wondering if that's her sugar daddy. And she's like,
he's my lawyer. He's my private lawyer.
There was a legal document where he gave her $700,000, I believe. And then on the Housewife and Hustler Part 2 documentary, he said that supporting her has cost him millions of dollars. So I think it's ongoing support is from what I can tell. And I don't know. I don't think that she's romantically involved with that guy, though. I think he really is like some friend of Tom's. Maybe he's hoping for that. Is he single? I'll have to find out. But it is odd that you would give that much money to someone who's just like a friend of an old guy that you were friends with. And or maybe you just want the fame and the notoriety because now people like, look, I'm saying his name on a podcast. Maybe that's the thing, is he's hoping for that to be some sort of marketing for him because he's a lawyer. I don't know. Then Andy asks Erica a direct question about the housewife and the hustler, which I was very surprised by because Bravo usually just pretends that some of these things don't exist. But he asks her about the victims and about sitting down with them. She says that she blames the legal process, which we've heard before, on why she couldn't talk about anything in previous seasons. I'm like, but you did talk about things. You were awful about things, in fact. So you can't blame the legal process for you just being terrible. But her whole thing is like, she's blaming the legal process for it seeming like she didn't have empathy. Well, that doesn't work because you already established in like episode 2 of this season, you had your therapist on talking about you don't even know what empathy is. You can't even plug into that. So which is it? You do have that ability and capacity. You just couldn't show it because of the legal process, in quotes, or you don't understand what empathy is. You cannot have both of these things be true. Like one negates the other. So which storyline are you going to go with? And I was just yelling at my TV because nobody challenged her on it. Nobody brought that up. Nobody said, but hey, didn't we see you with your therapist saying, I don't even know what empathy is? So what are you saying now? No, we just move on. Andy asked her why she sat down and met with victims. And her answer is,
under the advice of counsel, I went.
Which tracks with Housewife and the Hustler, where they said that Jim Wilkes is the one who encouraged her to go sit down and meet with them. Then she says,
I thought it was important that they see me, not through the lens of a TV show.
So she went on the advice of counsel, and because she thought it was important for them to see her, I'm sure she means like as a person or herself, but those are two very odd reasons to go. A lawyer who's paying for your life tells you to, and you think it's important that they see you. Those are not great reasons. The answer should be that you want to learn about these people, how you can help, and also just apologize for all of the pain that they've gone through. Whether or not you had anything to do with any of it, you definitely contributed to it by showing you're just burning through their cash on this TV show. But we know saying all of this is a waste of energy and she's never going to get it. Andy asks her if she can better explain why she sat down with them. And she says,
I cannot.
I cannot.
And she says it two or three times. It's really annoying. And she gives no further reason. She doesn't say legal stuff, or she doesn't say, I just don't have a reason other than that. She just,
I cannot. I cannot.
She gets into that weird robot legalese mode. He asked her if she learned things from them, and she says,
yes. One of my paychecks was in a client trust fund.
She doesn't say paycheck for what, but we assume Real Housewives. I don't understand if, like, was direct deposit ever used? I don't know how tech savvy Tom was. He seems like it was, like, minus tech savvy, like abacus type stuff. So maybe he got her paper check and then deposited her paper check into a client trust fund. So it's just completely obscene commingling of funds and accounts. And when Andy sort of asks for more information on that, she's like, you know, the details will be in the trial, revealed in the trial in May, let's hope. Then they get into a discussion of Tom being declared mentally fit to stand trial. And there are a lot of questions about that because Erica has been peddling the narrative since 2020, since this all broke, that like maybe he wasn't all the way there mentally, about the car crash, about him calling her, not knowing where he is, that he thinks he's practicing law. She has been laying it on very, very, very thick that Tom has lost his mental faculties. And Erica says, well, you know, there's your
medical thing, and then there's, you know, what's in court, and so those can be different.
And so Crystal throws a flag. She throws a flag and she says, look, because Crystal's father passed from Alzheimer's, and so she volunteers with the Alzheimer's Association, raise funds with them, who knows what she does with them. But she says, like, look, you told us 4 years ago that he was in mental decline, pretty serious mental decline. And the average lifespan for somebody who's been diagnosed with like serious Alzheimer's is like 9 years. So to go 4 years later and he's competent to stand trial. And Erica's like, well, I don't know what Crystal is saying, but I mean, if you're saying that you think he's malingering, then just say that. And malingering, again, is just a legal word for faking. And Crystal says she doesn't know if he's faking or not, but something doesn't add up with it. And we get a little gem, a little jewel between Garcelle and Crystal, where Garcelle says, I see your point. Like, I guess they go to break or something. And Garcelle's like, I see your point. I get what you're saying. It is odd that we were all told what we were told 4 years ago. And Crystal's like, yeah. And for him to 4 years later, he can stand trial. Garcelle says, yeah, someone is lying. And Crystal says, then it would be her. Then without explanation, we cut to slippered feet getting out of a black Escalade, it seems, or some sort of giant SUV. And the pampered slippered foot belongs to Kathy. Kathy's here. Cabs are here. Kathy's here. She's here to spice up the show. We're not given a reason why Kathy is there. It's out of context, but Kathy's there. Because let's not forget, this is the Kyle show. So why wouldn't her sister just pop in and visit? You know, it's like it's a Mr. Rogers show. And Kathy's just popping on by. We see her with her little under eye things on, getting her glam, which they're doing some pretty major contouring. And then they linger on her little makeup table, and we see a big old bag of jelly beans. And then, which I just thought was odd, she starts dishing and spilling, which is, that's why I like Kathy, because she's a bit of a loose cannon. She is the opposite of Kyle. I don't know what Kathy is going to say. I know Kyle, whatever she says is curated. But Kathy starts going off in her little makeup chair, saying that she's noticed issues between Kyle and Mauricio like 3-4 years ago. And she says that this is not a decision to separate from Mo that Kyle would have made hastily, like over the last 3 months. She says this definitely would have been happening over the last 3 years, I bet. And she's like, I probably shouldn't say that, but I did. I'm like, you sure did, and you're on camera. Back out on stage, as Kathy is being glammed up, we're talking about Magic Mike, Sutton bringing her own little mixer, her grapefruit mixer in her bag, name them, her ex moving to London, the clip of her saying, I'm on the board of the American Ballet Association. And Andy asked her, like, what was your big issue when you went to Magic Mike? Like, what was it that set you off? And she says it was when Erica got on stage and spread her legs wide and the guy was, like, pretending to, you know, chomp her little puss. And Erica's like, but do you like it in real life? Sutton says she wanted to have a good time. She brought a ton of ones. She's going to give everybody, you know, a stack of ones. And she really wanted to have fun. And she just, I don't think she realized how lewd it was going to be. I think she thought it was going to be cheeky, but not lewd. And those things are very different. Another interesting insight that we got was that the day that Sutton freaked out about the Magic Mike and left the show, her ex-husband had told her that day that he needed to move to London and he wanted her and their minor son to also move to London. And they talk about she had to stand up to him and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay here. And he's going to stay here too. And just what a big deal that was. And some of the ladies are like, but you're divorced. You're divorced. He can't tell you where to move. And she's trying to explain to them, like, he called the shots for so many years, decades that they were married, that it's kind of like a mental thing for her to not let him call the shots anymore. So, and I get it that he has to move somewhere. So he wants his son, his young son, high school age, I think, to go too. And so he would ask his ex-wife to also go. That would be great for him. That would be a wonderful life for him. But she did not want to do that. So everybody should be proud of Sutton for being like, no, I'm actually not going to keep falling in line and making your life great at the expense of what I would like to do. So she talks about how she's proud of herself, and she and Andy reflect on how she has really changed since she's been on the show. And I completely agree. She has changed so much, so much. She's really getting stronger and better. And she's becoming, I think, a top tier housewife, or has become. And Andy goes off on this little spiel about how being on Real Housewives can help people to find their voice and learn to stand up for themselves. And it can. If you think about Portia, when we first met her, and I'm talking about Portia from Atlanta, not Kyle's daughter. It's too many Portias, so little time. What a fall in line wife she was. You remember that? She would tell them, like, I don't know, my husband wouldn't want me to go to the strip club and I can't be going in there. And now look at her. Very outspoken, very opinionated. I don't know that she would ever listen to a man to tell her, meh, she probably would for money. You know what I mean? Her marrying Simon, I don't want to get off a tangent, but her marrying Simon, and I feel like that was just for money, that really kind of dulled the shine of her independence to me. But a girl's got to do what a girl's got to do. Let's hope she gets something out of the divorce. Although I think she just asked a judge for it to just be, you get what you came in with, and that's the end of it. Which leads me to believe that he doesn't have anything to give her. Then they get into Sutton talking about her $300,000 a month, because that was released. Somebody looked up her divorce legal documents, and that number was stated in the legal documents. And Andy asked her about it on Watch What Happens Live, and she confirmed it. And she actually said, well, that number is, you know, after taxes. So it's actually more? Wow. And for no reason at all, Andy asks 8.5 Ann what she thinks. I don't know if Ann was making faces. I don't know if she was like wiggling around in her seat during this part. Why Andy cut over to her for no reason to ask her opinion of this situation to a person that she has terrorized the entire season. But that's what we did. And she says, you know, I just come from a world where we just don't talk about money like that. Oh, really?
Oh, really?
And then she says stuff that it really put a fork in me. I was done at this point. She says, I have a lot of very, very, very famous friends and very, very wealthy friends. And we just don't talk about money. To which I say, to your detriment, because women should talk about money. I believe that wholeheartedly. I do that in my own life. I was also raised, do not talk about money with people. And then when you get to your job where you're a corporate cog, never talk about your salary. That's so rude. Screw that. Talk about your salaries. Tell your colleagues what you make. Somebody is being underpaid. You're stronger if you're together. Do not listen to Anne Marie. I think women talking about money is important and all women should do it. What are you saving for retirement? You know, like, inspire each other. You don't have to like show everybody your bank account. That's not what I'm saying, but talk about money the way men do. Men talk about money all day long. But back to Sutton, $300,000 a month. That's aspirational, Sutton. You enjoy it, because I don't know what she had to put up with from some dude executive for decades. Then we get into a good friend fight. It's a good friend off between Sutton and Kyle. Who was a good friend? And you weren't a good friend to me. And no, and you weren't a good friend to me. And the weed dinner. I'm like, Kyle, we cannot do this forever. Just when I was struggling, I'm army crawling through it. They kick me in my ribs by putting Teddy on screen. These are showing how people were piling on Sutton, accusing her of having a drinking problem. So then they show Kyle and Teddy on Watch What Happens Live. and Teddy's trying to deliver a burn, which she cannot do to save her life. And Teddy's like playing with her hair and being like,
well, I don't know if I want things to listen to anything Sutton says, you know, from someone who has vodka in her purse 24/7.
And then her proud big sister Kyle next to her is like, oh, and looks and makes a face and like giggles and looks away as if she didn't set that whole thing up. And so Sutton is saying like, look, you even have your little minion Teddy out here saying this stuff. Your entire goal was to try to plant this stuff and make it seem like that I have an eating disorder, that I have a drinking problem, and you're doing it on the show and off the show with Teddy. Please stop. And I'm yelling. I'm going off at Teddy. I'm like, she doesn't carry vodka in her purse. She carries a little thing of grapefruit juice. It's a mixer. And it's when she's going to a social setting where she's going to need to make a drink. She carries her own mixer. And it really must be an unbelievable place to be inside Kyle's mind where you just keep denying. Just keep denying. Never admit anything. Like, what? Who? I didn't say that. No. No, that wasn't. I'm a good friend. But Sutton has had it. I don't know how long they've been on stage. It might be hour six. I mean, for us, I feel like it's hour 12 watching it. And Sutton is fired up, capital U-P. She's like, you've been insinuating that I had all these issues, that I took pills. You made fun of my foot. You guys talked about my gabapentin. You all said I had an eating disorder. You guys are saying I have vodka in my bag. You belittled my divorce. Because remember, Kyle was like, oh, you have to go back to court to talk about child stuff. Oh, so you're going to get more money. Just Kyle belittles everything and then freaks out if you do anything similar to her. And Sutton is very direct with her. She's like, stop trying to evade this. Like, you need to understand, quote, your responsibility in the insinuations. And she really does need to understand that. And Sutton says, you have been relentlessly mean to me. And she has been. And I'm so glad Sutton is seeing it and acknowledging it. And Sutton's getting better about her little comebacks, too, because Kyle's like, when? I'm like, Kyle, we've done this. We just did this. We just walked through all of it. She gave you solid examples. But instead of getting spun up in that, Sutton just says, well, as Denise would say, watch the show. And that's where they leave it. And that is where we jump into just previews for the final part three, which again is going to focus on Kyle. Because what are we watching? The Kyle Show. Brought to you by Kemosabe. And we see Kathy walking out next week. And we see previews of Andy asking Kyle why she asked the group if they would date a woman. And Kathy's like, don't be scared. So we all know. We all know. Everybody knows. Can we end this soon? And then the other big thing for next week is that Sutton has this issue where she starts shaking or something. It almost faints. I'm not sure what it is, but we'll find out next week. There was no teaser of somebody in a flannel shirt this time, though. So I wonder if that just was a red herring. Because some of these edits really are just like, bravo, somebody in the editing room is just like, got your nose. Got your nose. Where'd that quarter come from? And you're like, stop it, Grandpa. At the very end of all the previews, then Erica Jane's Bet on Blonde 2-hour special started. And I turned it off immediately. It starts with Mikey Minden's voice. Please go, if you have not listened to the deep dive on the Marco Marco lawsuit, and go listen to that before you watch her special, if you intend to watch it. If you don't, my next pod is going to be a recap of that, and that will drop on Monday. Wish me luck. That is going to be a really tough one to watch, but I'm going to watch it because I want to know what she's saying to people. I'm sure everybody who's like legally involved with anything with her is watching it. And that's another reason I'm watching it. I want to know where the quotes get pulled from that are going to run in like LA Times 6 months from now. I somehow thought that it was going to be broken up across a couple different weeks or aired after the show aired. I don't know. It just seems weird to just 2 hours right after one random episode, not even the final reunion, not even the week after Beverly Hills when people are kind of like missing it. But then I ask myself, is it because of the outcome that she just got in court where she lost her motion to dismiss the Marco Marco lawsuit? And so that is proven to really have teeth now because a judge decided to let that go forward. But why would Bravo start reacting to legal stuff now? I don't know. But we did it. We got through reunion part two. Let's hope reunion part three is more new things and fruitful discussions where we actually get somewhere and it's not just people making excuses and pushing fake things in front of us. In the meantime, please take a moment and subscribe to this pod. There should be a little plus button somewhere. Please and thank you. That's all I ask in return for this free pod. And if you're enjoying it, tell a friend to tell a friend. But whatever you do, don't be like Kyle. Don't make it your mission to destroy a good friend on this show, pointing out all of her flaws, only to turn around and become worse than she ever was.